Judges chapter 3 this morning. Can I preach to you just a little while today? Amen. Here we meet a young man with a very strange name, Ehud. Anybody here named Ehud today? Amen. Let me just check. I didn't think there was, but you never know. Isn't it something? It's kind of strange how a lot of these Bible names have lived on through the years. We still got people named John. We name our children Stephen or Paul, you know, Noah even. Amen. We got these names live on, but there's some names that nobody has. Amen. There's some names that, you ever notice some names in the Bible? They're on the who's who list. Everybody knows their story. Everybody knows about Daniel in the lion's den. But then there's some guys in the Bible, they're not on the who's who list. They're on the who's he list. Amen. And when you hear their story, the first thing you say, who in the world is that guy? Who is he? And that's kind of how Ehud was. He wasn't anybody famous. You study out his life today. I looked it up this morning. Ehud only shows up in 4 chapters in the Bible. Right here in Judges 3. In Judges 4, it simply said Ehud died. And then in 1 Chronicles 7 and chapter 8, it just mentions his name. He had a son and he begat so and so. And that's all we read about Ehud. Just 4 chapters in the Bible even mentions his name. But I want you to understand something. Ehud made a mark for God. Amen. And you know this morning, that's all that's going to really matter when we get to the end of the story. This generation, I'd like to preach to you today. We got things backwards and upside down. We want to make a name in the world. We want to make money and be famous. I want to tell you today, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. I don't care if the world knows me. I want my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. How many want to make a mark for God today? Amen. How many want to be an Ehud around here? Maybe you're here today and you say, Brother Pascarella, if I lived back in Bible days, it'd have been a lot easier. You ever heard that one? Amen. I had a guy tell me in my youth group the other day, if I lived back in Elijah's day when they was calling fire down, amen, boy, I could have been a good Christian. I want to tell you, I do feel sorry for this generation. I'm sympathetic to you young ladies and young men today. I know you're living in a wicked hour and a horrible hour. And maybe you don't feel like this preacher can relate to you or anybody on this platform can relate to you. But I want you to understand, Ehud knew what it was like to live in a godless generation. Amen. You go back, let me just lay a little foundation today. But you go back and read the book of Judges. Amen. It covered a period of about 400 years. 400 years. And during that time, the children of Israel followed a very predictable pattern. Amen. It was up and down, up and down. You read the whole book of Judges. I know there's a lot of great stories in there, Brother Dean, but it almost makes you want to pull your hair out. Amen. When you read the book of Judges, those men of Israel never learned their lesson. They would sin and backslide. They'd get so low, they'd become slaves. Somebody would pray. God would raise up a deliverer. That's what the word judge means. Samson, Gideon, those other men, amen, they'd lead them into revival. And you know what they'd do? They'd go right back to sin, right back to slavery. Somebody would pray again. Then they'd have another revival, right back down. Amen, round and round, up and down. You ever seen anybody live for God like that? Come on now. Amen. Come on in here this morning. You ever seen anybody, they go to youth camp, they get on fire, and then it's right back down next week. Amen. Back home, we call them yo-yo Christians, you know. Up and down, up and down. They go in on Sunday night. Amen. They sing. They get in the choir. And then that next day, they go in their car, turn on the country music. Amen. Put their headphones on and listen to that rock. It's like getting an IV from hell. Amen. The devil pumps all that in. in. They get on their cell phone and text things and look at things that they never ought to. Hey man, you know what they're doing? They're up and down, up and down. You say everybody's doing it. We need an Ehud. We need somebody that'll break the cycle. Hallelujah. How many believe today we can get up and stay up? You can get up and have victory all your life for God. Amen. Oh, we need an Ehud to rise up this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. By the time we get to our text today, the children of Israel are down again. This time, this huge man, Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years, as old as some of you are, your whole life he'd had them down under his thumb. Hey man, come on out here, Brother Ethan. He's going to help me today. Come on, Brother Ethan. Amen. And that's a good brother. He's from my home state of Kentucky. Brother Ethan, first year to be here. Amen. But he's going to be Eglon for me today. Somebody had to do it. Amen. So he's a guy for the job. Amen. It's going to be Eglon. Get on down here with me, brother. Amen. This man, the Bible said, you know, I looked Eglon's name up a while back, and you know what his name means translated? The bull. Amen. The bull. Amen. I just call him the bully, if that'll be all right. Don't you hate a bully? Amen. I hate to see somebody that's always picking, amen, on somebody smaller than them. But you know, today, that's exactly what the devil is. He's a bully. Amen. You come to youth camp, and you know what we say on Monday night? I'm going to get in that altar. Amen. Devil, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to get in there and get a hold of God. And you try to come. You know what the devil does? He's not going to make it easy on you. You come in and say, I'm going to worship God. And the devil tries to throw, you're not worthy. Throw that hand out. I'm going to get up here and sing in the choir. And the devil tries to choke you out. I want to tell you, there's a bully. But here's the good news. He's not too big to beat. Amen. How many believe today? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We need somebody today that'll stand up to the devil. Amen. Oh, yeah. How many believe somebody can beat this bully if they want to? I want to be like that Englishman I read about. Amen. Stay right there, Brother Eglon. Not Brother Eglon. Amen. Stay right there, Devil Eglon. Amen. I want to be like that Englishman I read about. Amen. He went in during World War II, and this Englishman walked into the recruiter's office, and he said, I want to fight for England. Amen. He had a wooden leg. This old guy had a peg leg, brother. And he said, sign me up. I want to go in the battle. And that young recruiter looked him over from head to toe. And he said, man, that's good of you. I'm glad you're willing to fight. But he said, I got one question. How in the world are you going to run on that peg leg? Amen. He said, when bullets are flying and bombs are dropping, how are you going to run? I don't understand it. And that Englishman looked back. He had fire in his eyes. And he said, you're right. You don't understand. He said, England don't need men that know how to run. England needs men that know how to stand. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, that's what God needs today. We don't need another generation that knows how to backslide or compromise. We need a generation that'll stand for God and fight the good fight of faith. How many say today, I'm a lefty, but I don't want to lose to the devil. Hallelujah. God's looking for you in his army this morning. I want to give you a couple things and we're going to make an altar. Amen. I want you to look with me today at Ehud's weakness. Ehud's weakness. Let's just be honest. We don't like to admit it, but every one of us have a weakness in our life. And the devil wants to single it out and be the bully and pick on it and expose it. Did you notice what the Bible said? I'm not going to go back and read it all, but Judges 3:15, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, was a man left-handed. God raised him up. And again, I want you to understand plainly, the Holy Ghost wasn't wasting time when he said left-handed. If I took time today and separated everybody left-handed and right-handed, it don't really make a difference in our generation. It don't matter hardly at all. But in Bible days, amen, it was a shame, really, to be anything but right-handed. Amen. Everybody was raised up and trained to use their right hand. And you look it up in the Hebrew. Amen. Here's how it says in the Strong's. If you look it up in the original Hebrew, here's how it reads. Ehud had an infirmity in his right hand. His right hand was shut up, unable to be used, paralyzed, handicapped. Amen. Now do you get a picture of this young man? Somebody's got to beat this bully. And God reaches down and he picks the least likely fella, amen, to anoint. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on out here, brother. Brother Bruce, he's going to help me be Ehud today. Amen. I want you to picture this guy. This evil man, Eglon, is roaring and raging, and here comes this little guy, amen, out on the battlefield. Can you imagine it? Amen. He don't look like much. He's handicapped. He's got his arm in a sling. Amen. He's not the one we'd have chose. And you know what really got me? I want to make this clear right here. The Bible said this guy was a Benjamite of the tribe of Benjamin. Anybody here today remember what Benjamin's name meant in the Bible? Huh? Bible trivia? Anybody? Some of y'all do? Hey man, you go back and read it in Genesis 35 and you'll get the story. Rachel was dying in childbirth. She had a hard labor, and in her dying breath, she named her boy Benoni. Benoni. And she said that name means the son of my sorrow. Hey man, and she died after she gave him that name. That's a bad name to have to live with, isn't it? Sorrowful, the son of my sorrow. But Jacob rose up, the daddy, amen. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you live with that name, son. You know, I believe Jacob, while his heart was touched, amen, he knew what it was to have a bad name. You remember? Jacob's name meant the thief, the deceiver, the supplanter. But he got in a wrestling match with God, and God changed his name. He called him Israel, a prince that's got power. I mean, oh, God can turn it around today. Hallelujah. And I believe Jacob, he knew God changed him, so he wants to change his boy. And he said, I'm not going to call you Benoni, the son of my sorrow. I'm going to call you Benjamin. Amen. Which means the son of my right hand. Hallelujah. Or we'd say it nowadays, the son of honor and power and authority. That's what the right hand signifies. How many know where Jesus is today? He's sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. That's power. That's authority. Amen. But now I said that to say this. Imagine if you're this young man. Amen. He's born in the tribe of Benjamin, a Benjamite. Everybody's the right-handers. That's what their name means. The son of the right hand. And here this boy is right here. Amen. You talk about a guy that don't fit in with anybody around him. He's a lefty. Amen. Everybody around him is the sons of the right hand. But this guy, he's a misfit. He's unworthy. Amen. He's never going to amount to nothing. Maybe that's how some of you feel today. The devil tells you, boy, I felt it when I was praying today. The devil tells you, your daddy ain't a preacher. Your daddy's not a deacon. Your family's not saved. You'll never be anybody. I want to tell you, it's a lie. It's a lie. God will take a lefty and make him a champion. Amen. It's not what you got, what you've lost. It's what you got left. Amen. I want to tell you, if all you got's one hand, you got something left, and you can fight that devil, you can land a blow, and win the battle for God. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah around here today. Amen. My wife's here this morning. I think she had to step out to go with my little kids, amen, for a moment, but I was raised, I want to tell you what God can do. Can I preach just about 5 more minutes here? I want to tell you what God can do. I was raised up in a holiness home like some of you. Amen. My dad was a preacher From the moment I was born, Brother Prickett, thanks for letting me preach today. I feel pretty good. Amen. I might preach tomorrow too. Amen. Amen. You might be out of a job the rest of the week. But I want to tell you something. Amen. I grew up in a holiness home. All I ever knew was going to church. All I ever knew was sitting on the pew. Amen. If I would have backslid, I'd have been the biggest loser. Amen. I'd ever walked this earth after all the advantages that God gave me. Amen. I mean, I'd have been a wimp if I couldn't have lived for God with everybody around me saved and taking me to church. But my wife, she had the very opposite life of me. She grew up in a home. I don't want to discredit her parents because they're trying and doing better. Amen. But her mom and dad was not saved at all. And I'm not going to go into all that. But they didn't make her go to church. They didn't care what she was doing. Amen. They were doing their thing. Amen. Brothers that are drugging still today. Amen. Running wild. Amen. But God, my wife, if you'd have looked at her at 10 years old, brother, she's the least likely. Amen. To be a preacher's wife, to be in a church, in a youth camp like this, in the city of Columbus, Ohio. But God got a hold of her on a Sunday school, amen, a bus kid, 12 years old, and God saved her, amen, hallelujah, amen. She lived for God, never missed a service, her pastor told me, amen, 12, 13, 14, 15, come every service, amen. When she got to be 16 years old, her family moved an hour and a half away from that church. Amen. And still to this day, if you go to that part of Ohio that her mom and dad lives in, there's no holiness churches for an hour and a half. Amen. But you know what happened? God got in her heart and she got in that car. Her mom and dad didn't care where she's going. Every Wednesday night, she drove an hour and a half to church. Amen. Amen. Got in the house of God, drove an hour and a half home every Sunday morning. Nobody woke her up. Nobody told her, stop wearing your pants. Take that makeup off. Stop cutting your hair. Amen. God got in her heart. And she lived it. And she breathed it. And here she is today. I don't think she'll care for me to say she's 35 years old. And she's never backslid. I want to tell you, you might be a lefty, but you don't have to lose. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to lose to the devil. How about you today? Amen. Come on over here, Ehud. Amen. God's getting ready to use you. And I'll tell you what I love about this man right here. I looked his name up the other day. And Ehud. Amen. You know his name means strong by a union. Amen. Made strong by a union. Not by himself. Somewhere along the line, Ehud hooked up with God. Amen. He united with God. And I'll tell you what I picture happened. Ehud lifted that left hand up. I don't have much power. But God, if you can use anything, you can use me. And God took that big right hand of heaven. And he put it in that left hand. And they united. Hallelujah. And how many know when you get hooked up with God, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. When you get hooked up with God, amen, greater is he that is in us. I'm telling you today, somebody get your hand in the hand of the master and you'll win this battle that we're in. Hallelujah. I'm going to cut it to a chase now. Ehud had a weakness, but Ehud had a weapon. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God's given a weapon to the weak today? The Bible said he had a dagger. Pull that out, brother. A dagger made of two edges. Boy, somebody said, preacher, if I had something like this to fight the devil with, a real dagger, boy, I'd be dangerous. I wouldn't be afraid of him either if I had a two-edged dagger. How many remember what the Bible told us we do have? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want to tell you, we got a two-edged sword. I got an Old Testament. I got a New Testament. It'll cut the devil. Amen. Either way. You know what you ought to do today? Get that Bible out.
out and stick it to the devil. Hallelujah. I'd like to get the word of God out. Maybe the devil's lying to you. And he's saying you're too weak. You know what you ought to do? Say, devil, Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I'm telling you, we got a message. We got a word from God. We can win the battle. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Pasquarella, the devil's telling me I'm all alone. Oh, you're doing good at youth camp. Amen. You're all right here. You got buddies around you praying for you. But you're going home and your mom and dad don't serve God. There's not going to be anybody around you to help you. Amen. You're all alone and I'm going to get you. You know what you ought to do? Pull that dagger out and say, he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Ehud. Amen. Stick it to the devil and down with that big enemy. I want to tell you, the devil can go down this week. The devil can bite the dust. And somebody can walk out of here. Amen. A lefty. I don't want to lose to you. We're fighting the devil. How many say, I don't want to lose in this hour. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to leave you with this. I read about General Erwin Rommel. He was a German Nazi general in World War II. They called him the Desert Fox. He outfoxed everybody that he ever faced. Amen. I mean, he was tricky and crafty and shrewd. But one day, General Patton surprised him, the American general, and he routed him. Amen. Amen, brother. He chased him out, made him retreat and run. And when it was all said and done, they said something strange happened. Patton leaned out of that tank he was riding in, and they heard him shouting this to Rommel. He was saying, I read the book, Rommel. I read the book. Amen. I read the book, Rommel. And come to find out, what he meant was this. General Erwin Rommel, that Nazi, had written a book called Infantry Attacks. Amen. And in that book, he wrote down his plan for attack, how he would attack the enemy and win the battle. And somehow Patton got a hold of that book, and he studied it, and he read it, and he memorized it. And when he got out there on the battlefield, nothing the enemy did caught him by surprise. He was ready. He read the book. Amen. You know what somebody ought to do today? You ought to lean back and say, I read the book, devil. I read the book. I've been all the way to the last page. Revelation. You're going in a lake of fire. I'm going to heaven. You're not going to get me to backslide. You're not going to get me to compromise. I read the book and we're on the winning side. Amen. Oh, let's stand this morning. Come on, everybody that will. Can we raise our hands? Let's give God a good praise today. Come on, you can praise him better than that. Oh, hallelujah. Shedadabohotai. Oh, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, the music, somebody. Let's just praise the Lord a minute right here. It's only 11 o'clock. Let's praise God a minute right now. God, I'm a lefty, but I don't want to lose this battle. Oh, hallelujah. How many want to be an Ehud? You get the message this morning? Amen. How many made up your mind today? I want to be on the winning side. Oh, you say my dad's not a preacher. Hey man, my mom's not a churchgoer. My family, they don't have any history of being anybody special in the house of God. You're the one God's looking for today. Amen. You're the one God wants to use. God specializes in using people just like you. You know how the story ended? Ehud's weakness, Ehud's weapon, Ehud's win. Amen. When the dust settled, hey man, the big man, the head enemy was down. And there stood Ehud, triumphant. Probably had that left hand in the air, praising God and thanking God. You know what happened? I said it earlier. When they got the big man down, amen, boldness went through the camp of Israel. When they saw what one Ehud did, they started shouting, brother. And the rest of those men that had been timid and cowardly, amen, they came out and said, if God will use him, God will use my hand. Amen. And they chased the whole army down. All 10,000 Moabites slew them, every one, and not one escaped. I don't want to see one habit walk out of here haunting some young person this week. I don't want to have another youth camp where one besetting sin follows you home. I want to slay them all on this altar, huh? Hey, I want to slay every habit. You know how it ended? When Ehud got done, the land had rest, or we can say victory, rest from the enemy, 80 years. Amen. 80 years, your whole lifetime. You don't have to be hounded by that devil every day, that same temptation. And you know what? I'm going to leave you with this, but you know what stunned me? You read the book of Judges. Almost every other judge that God used, when they got done, there was 40 years of victory. When Gideon got done, the land had rest 40 years. When Barak got done, 40 years. Othniel, 40 years. Samson, that guy only lived up to half of his potential. When he got done, the land had rest 20 years. That's all. But when old Ehud got done, 80 years. Amen. Amen. I'm not a good mathematician, but I know that's double portion of 40, ain't it, huh? 40 times 2, 80. Amen. God gave the old lefty a double portion of victory. Amen. And I want to tell you this morning, God wants to give this generation a double portion of divine power, but He's not going to bless over top of sin. Amen. You got to be sanctified, holy. You got to come out from among them and be ye separate and dedicate your life and say, here's all I got, Jesus. And if you'll give Him all, He'll give you power. How many believe that today? Come on in around this altar this morning. Let's have a time. Tell God, I want to be your Ehud, Lord. I might be a lefty, but I don't like to lose. God, put something in my heart today. Come on, young generation. Let's seek God. Let's ask God to help.